Lord, praise the Lord. God is awesome. Great things are happening. We just give God glory for all things. I want to welcome you to, I guess, the Spirit Ministry Fellowship. And God is on the throne. No matter what comes your way, God has made a way out. See, that's exactly what you were saying. Even though it's coming your way, you don't always know it. He has made a way out. We have to always look at that and see exactly what's going on. He will make a way out. Sometimes we don't always see what's going on. It's the same thing as we have the picture of my office where there's waves coming up. And as the waves come up and you're in the middle of it, what happens is you have to look at the end result. That's what God has. That's his promise. That's what's going on. When you look at the end result, and you walk towards the end result instead of looking at all the stuff that's coming after you, that's when you start to have victory and you start to change and things start to happen. So praise the Lord. We praise God for that and all the testimonies. What the Lord had to say this morning is actually beautiful. I've been talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's culture, the kingdom of heaven culture. And I was reminded that I was given a book some time ago, and it talked about a man that grew up in a kingdom. Later, he got saved. When he got saved, he started to serve the Father, you know, Father God. And I think he even left the kingdom because he wanted to follow God and do what God wanted him to do. But in this book, he was talking about growing up as a child. And I only regret that I didn't get the name of the book or get a copy of it because it was given to me and I gave it back to him. Or what happened in that, because what he said was when he got saved, because he grew up in a kingdom, he knew the principles of the kingdom, he understood the culture of the kingdom, he understood how the kingdoms work. We, growing up in a democracy, have not the experience of any kingdom understanding. There's principles that the kingdom has that makes us change and have things differently. And that's why we preach on that. That's why Chris is doing on the third Saturday, I'm having one about the kingdom of God by Miles Monroe. We've listened to a lot of his teachings, a lot of his understanding way back when. It started out in the 1980s when I started to learn more about the kingdom and understand the kingdom and started to move away from religion because I understand what Jesus had set up, what he did, what he's going with, what he's working with. It's very important when you have that full understanding. But his whole concept was the general person who's given their life to Christ does not have the teaching or the training to be the person that they need to be, or as he was trained to be a king. Now, I know a little bit about it. You try to do a little study. I haven't got a whole lot of study, but anyone wants to do a study, it would be great to find out. What does they do to make a child of a king, to become a king or a princess? There's a different way of going. I know that immediately after the birth, they're handed over to a handler that starts to take care of them, start to work with them. I know the parents are still there, but basically this handler is there to train them, to teach them, to educate them, to know how to talk, how to walk, how to eat, what to do, what needs to wear. All this stuff was all brought up to them and was told them how to do this. They were trained history. They were trained, you know, you always see in the movies how they were trained to have sword fights and all that stuff. There was always a systematic way of training them so when they got old enough, they had the composure, the structure, so they could go do what was going on. That's all culture. And that's the kingdom of heaven culture. We don't really understand the full kingdom of heaven culture, and that's what the Lord has been saying this year to speak on, is the kingdom of heaven culture. It's very important. So It'd be interesting to if anybody finds more information on that and see what would happen so that we can get more information to see what's going on and what we need to be doing as citizens of the kingdom of God to be able to teach about the kingdom that we come from, because the kingdom is our home. We grew up, we were in heaven before we ever were put into a physical body. We were a spirit before that ever happened. God knew us before we were born. He formed us in the womb. And then he anointed us. He needed us. He called for us. You hear many different testimonies that come up of people that were in heaven. They've seen these spirits. They've seen what was going on. They're waiting for a body. You know, you can go back through and listen to some of them. There's several different ones that I've heard. It's interesting to understand some of those things. You listen to Daniel about heaven. You talk to Jesse Duplantis about his heaven experience. Some other people talk about their heavenly experience. It's a different culture than what we deal with here on this earth, a different way of understanding. So this is what we're trying to do, is bring a little more clarity on the kingdom of heaven culture this year. We're really missing out on so much. See, what happened was, he was trained for his purpose in life. He was trained for his purpose in life. Have you been trained for the purpose in your life? What is your purpose for life? What are you supposed to do? The average person gets trained up according to the doctrine of their church. I grew up in a Dutch Reformed church, and I was indoctrinated. And I understood what they wanted and how they were wanting us to be and how things were supposed to be and so on and so forth, so I did the best I could. Still had a lot of questions I didn't understand and didn't make sense, but that's what I went with. Some people don't have a church. They just have their family. So you were trained by the family, by your school, by people you're around. You've been trained in many different ways. The thing is changing the training that you receive to receive the culture of heavenly culture so that you can walk in the heavenly cultures and receive everything that you're supposed to receive. We'll be talking more about that as we continue to go on. When here a while back I was in the presence of the Lord and I heard the words that said more people are actually showing and teaching the culture of the kingdom of darkness. Anybody that's angry, upset, that's a kingdom of darkness culture. Anyone that wants their own way, prideful, is doing their own culture. One that, you know, just... You can go back down and start to look at all the things that's going on. I cannot believe the beer commercials, the breweries that have come up, all those things that have happened. Why have we gone so far into wine and spirits? People, and a long time ago when I'd seen wine and spirits, it always bothered me. Wines and spirits, what's that about? Well, the wine opens up a door for the evil spirits to come in and cause you problems. Anybody ever seen them drunk? I don't think they're in the right mind. I think they got a spirit in there causing some problems. So I'm just saying, there's different things out there. When you're doing that, you're displaying the kingdom of darkness. And that's many people who are saved. How many people are saved are displaying the kingdom of darkness? How do you display the kingdom of darkness? Anything that's not of God. It's something for you to think about. It's only a revelation. I've gone through and I've seen a lot through the kingdom of God. I've looked at it, I've checked it out, I've tried to figure out exactly what's going on. And I've learned a lot. I'm still learning more. There's a lot to learn. But God wants his people to take and make and show the kingdom of heaven, a culture on this earth. That's his whole purpose. That's what he wants to have happen. We are an ambassador. We came from heaven. We're on this earth, and we need to represent our kingdom. And I played the ambassador before. So the more we learn about the kingdom of heaven culture, the more we're going to have. Now, you want to read that, Darren, Matthew 24, 3 through 14.
And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
See, there's some keys in there that really I have a lot of people who are looking for the end to come. I have a lot of people who are looking at what's happening in this world and saying, we aren't long for this world. I said it had been a while back that our issue is that we need to really not be praying that the Lord comes back, but praying that we take and get as many people saved and delivered and healed while we're here on this earth. See, our viewpoint is looking at the wrong thing. We're looking, in a way, about ourselves than we are about what God wants to do. And if that's the case, that's an area that you have to deal between you and the Holy Spirit. And I was reading through this, and it came up, and it said, in 6, and we heard and shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We've heard for wars and rumors of war most of my life. Like I said, I was sitting on the back of a bus when I was 16. It was with my girlfriend that time, not Debbie, another one. And I took, and there were some girls in front of us, and I didn't want to be on the bus because it was a pep bus, and I'm thinking that these guys are going to razz me like crazy because I went on this stupid bus. But anyway, that's another subject. So I took, and I was there. I was just helping her because she wanted to ride the bus, and I was going to drive, but she, well, that's the way it goes. Anyway, these two girls were from Assembly of God, and they were saying, oh, the Lord's coming back. He's coming back soon. They were saying that at church. All this is happening. It's time to come back. It's going to happen. It's going to come back. Going to come back. I immediately came into fear by saying, I haven't had a life yet. I want to have a life. You know, I don't want God to come back yet. I've never even had a life. I need at least to live a few years before he comes back. And I see that many times when people start talking this way, it puts people into fear. And fear isn't, you know, people might give their life to Christ because of fear, but their heart isn't towards God. It's just because of their actions, what they're seeing and feeling and hearing. So that's one thing that, you know, it can happen, and I'm not saying they can't change because of it, but it's something that you need to look at. You know, that's why I was saying that. And, you know, the thing is, when you start talking that way, you have to realize, right there it even said, all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's what Jesus said. The end is not yet. And then if you go down to 7, go down to 8, and it was talking about the pestilence and the earthquakes and then all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Anybody heard of any earthquakes lately? I've been hearing rumors of everything. I heard just lately that there's this big crack out there in Yellowstone ready for things to blow up. We heard there's a fault that's out in the ocean that's just about ready to blow up and drop California off the side of the earth, you know, off of the United States. We've heard that for years. We've heard of the one that goes down the Mississippi River is going to divide the world, you know, the world, the United States up. You know, they're all over the place. I've just learned a long one that comes down along the 37th parallel, I believe. It's down south of us. If it goes off, it's going to destroy everything. Probably cut all our oil off and all this power, and I'll tell you, we're just going to be in bad shape. That's only the beginning of sorrows. But we focus so much on that because we're thinking, well, when's God going to come? What's happening? What's going on? All these things are what's happening. These are things that we've dealt with, things I've dealt with, things that I've had to work with. And then it comes on down, and in 12, and it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Wow. If that ain't true for today, I don't know what is. If that ain't true, I'm a surprise because there's so much iniquity around here, so much going on. You start watching some of the programs, even just the commercials on the TV that shows you what's going to happen. Sick, sick, sick. Iniquity, iniquity, iniquity. People are more in tune to iniquity and showing the kingdom of darkness than they are in showing the kingdom of God. But then the last in 13 it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, wait a minute. Once saved, always saved. I gave my life to Christ, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be saved. That's not what this says. It says, but he that shall endure to the end. Endure. What do you got to do to endure? There's a lot to it. It says, work out your salvation without fear and trembling. So work out your, now wait a minute, I just got saved. I just gave my life to Christ. What do I got to do to work it out? It's a gift. It's a free gift. It's grace and mercy. By mercy, I'm saved. I don't have to do anything. Yes, you do. There was a church up in Northwest Iowa. It was a Netherlands church. It was from a Dutch Reformed church. It came from the Netherlands. And this one guy says, predestination. If I'm going to hell, you know, God already designed me to go to hell. I'm going to hell. There's nothing I can do. I'm going to just go out and have my fun and enjoy myself. He wants me to go to heaven. I'll go to heaven. I'm saved. Predestination. Doctrine. Doctrine will kill you. We also were out there at a farm. And this one lady, which was 8 months pregnant, was out throwing bales off the wagon onto the elevator while her husband sat there and was drinking tea. And I said, talked to the guy that took us there, and we was talking about him, and I said, what's wrong? He says, she's a lower class than he is, so she has to work harder. He didn't give her any grace and mercy. Doctrine. It'll get you. It'll teach you wrong. It'll get you going in such a way. It says, but he that shall endure through all the sorrows, all the beginnings of things that have to happen, all those things that are going on, and all the misery that you see, all the iniquity that is out there, if you endure it, and you love God, and you love your neighbor, and you continue to serve God, and your heart does not wax cold, then that same one will be saved. So there's a danger of losing. That's why it says, even if the elite can be deceived in these times, they'll be destroyed, even the elite. This is why the Lord is saying one thing about culture, kingdom culture. It's interesting how God has been going and showing me some many different things. And it says in 14, and then the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When's the end coming? When the kingdom of God is preached in all the nations. I've heard way back when, many years ago, it's going to end quick. The end's coming. We got TV stations everywhere. There's no tribe out there that cannot hear the gospel of Christ. That's what they said. And they used this scripture, and they said, they said, when the gospel is preached in all the world for the witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. That's what they're saying. We're about done. God's about ready to come back, because there's no place in this world that has not been preached the gospel. They didn't say the gospel of the kingdom. They said the gospel. The gospel is not the gospel of kingdom according to doctrine. I hate to say that. It might blow you away. Jesus did not say, seek ye first Jesus and all that he has to offer you. And any place in the Bible, in your Bible, says that. Seek ye first Jesus and all he has to offer. No. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a big difference between the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom of God. I remember Miles one time saying that he was in a bunch of pastors, and they start talking about some things, and he said, Jesus never preached himself. Never once did he talk about himself. It wasn't about Jesus. It was about bringing the kingdom back, the government back, the understanding of the culture of the kingdom. And that's why religion is so far off. Because if you just forget about the culture, then the devil has his culture, and he's going to inundate you with his culture, and you're going to follow it instead of following what God's given you. It's interesting, the more I've learned and more I understand that. So if you know anybody that's proclaiming the kingdom of darkness, you need to speak to them and say, hey, do you know what you're doing? See, it's because they're not being trained to be a king. They have never been trained the right way. They've been trained through doctrine. I was trained through doctrines. I sit at a Methodist church on a layman Sunday. I talked about it before. And I was standing there, and I never wanted to preach, never wanted to be a preacher. Oh, yeah. One of those deals. I was sitting there. They asked me to be one of another person at the church they knew that was well-liked, I guess. And they asked him to be a layman. A layman is a person that's not educated, just they allowed you to do a few things, and it was a layman's sermon. So the pastor teaching, the layman's did. So the guy came up to me and says, well, what are you going to say? I says, I don't know. He says, well, I don't want to say something just opposite of what you just said. That's kind of a bad deal. We've got to be kind of unified here. So I said, I have no clue. I'll see what the Lord wants to say when I get up there. And I didn't really have a whole lot in my mind. I had a general understanding. And he got up there, and, oh, there's so much love, there's so much peace, and God loves us. And he's hitting all this and going all lovey-dovey and all that kind of stuff, making people feel great and fantastic. I get up there, and the Holy Ghost gets a hold of my tongue and says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm preaching kingdom of darkness. Jesus broke that. He made us a new creation. We're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. He broke the works of the devil. What is the works of the devil? To cause us to sin. He took the sin out of us. He made us brand new. Old Testament, we were sinners saved by, we were sinners. And we had to be, by works, we were able to be put forth in Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus died on that cross, that sin was washed, totally changed, broken. The power of Satan was broken. It was destroyed. We no longer are a sinner. We are a saint. When we ask Jesus Christ, we become a brand new creation. No more are we sinners. Yes, do we sin? We got a flesh. It comes against us. Yes, we have a high priest. We have to go to him and ask him to forgive us. Immediately, boom, washed with the blood again. Washed away. We're doing it. We're walking that way. That's kingdom of God. See, people walk around feeling that they're worthless, no good. God can't love them. I used to be one. Finally, God got a hold of me and told me, no, that's not true. You are my son. I love you. I died for you. I sent my son, his blood washed you away. You're not guilty anymore, and I'm not angry because of the punishment he took. Because it's done, it's over, and it's released you from all that. I said, praise the Lord. See, that's talking about the kingdom culture. You get set free. You get things happening. It's pretty awesome. Jesus said to pray, our Father which art in heaven. That means God to be our Father. And heaven to be our home. Think about that. Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father is our Father. Father is a creator. That's what the Father means, a creator. He created us. He gave us life through his Spirit. Anything without the Spirit of God is death. It's all dead. The Spirit of God is life. And he gave us life through his Spirit. He said, and heaven is our home. Are we living there? No. We are an ambassador. We've been sent to this country to represent the kingdom of God and his culture. If we don't understand his culture, how do you represent it? You represent probably the culture of the kingdom of darkness, because that's what you understand. That's what you've been taught. These are things that are coming out. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm just trying to bring some revelation so that people can understand. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means for us to represent the Father on earth so that we can change the culture to heaven's culture on earth. You know how many people would be going to the bars if we had heaven and culture on this earth? You know how many divorces would be happening if we have a heavenly culture on this earth? You know how many children would be in trouble if we had heavenly culture? You know how many prisons would be full if we had heavenly culture on this earth? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Breaking the divorce problems. Making sure children aren't beaten and destroyed and tore up because of the anger and frustrations. Opening up the jail cells and removing people all the way through. That's heavenly culture being represented on this earth. That's what it's about. Yeah, we talk a little bit about it when you're talking religion, but religion doesn't give you the authority or the power over the demonic spirits that are causing you all the problems. I remember the time that one girl got healed when I was in my church when I grew up. Just blew people away. She can't be healed. It's not for today. There's no way she could be healed. They were watching it real close to make sure she was really healed. They might have been thinking that something was going on. She was faking it or something. Because it just blew them away. That can't happen. That's not for today. Because they believe so much in what they taught. I said, wow, I praise God I got something inside me that started to say, there's something wrong. We're missing something. That's what got me out of that place beside my wife. When we're getting married, she says, I want to go to the church you're going to because I can't survive there. You want to marry me, you got to come up to Des Moines. So I came up to Des Moines. I was in a First Assembly of God church up here, the old sanctuary. It's the old building beside the new one. I was standing there, and all of a sudden I kept saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. That didn't make sense. I just didn't know. But God was prompting me. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the service, my head goes this way. And I watched something walk by me. I didn't see it. I didn't know it. But guess what? It was the Holy Ghost. I says, I don't know what that is, but I need that. See, God was speaking to my spirit. I didn't know it. He did. And he said, you've been missing it. So I learned about the Spirit of God. I said, I want that. And I started to grow towards that. And many great things happened from that time period. I've been trying to put this whole thing down this week, and it's been really difficult for me, and I don't know why. Normally I get revelation, and I put it out like I've been working on so far. But for some reason, I just couldn't put out the way I needed to put out. And I don't normally do this, but I have a video, and it's from Miles Monroe. just a few minutes on the first section. I'll say a few things, and we'll hit that last section. But I want you to understand, because he puts it out in such a way, and I know we just had it on Saturday for Miles Monroe. There's so much information out there. And he hits it in such a way, I pray that the revelation will hit you to set you on your ear. Basically, yeah, set you on your ear and get things rolling, because we're missing so much by not understanding his culture and what we can do. There's enough power in this place to change this whole city. Hallelujah. All be saved, all walking in the love of God towards one another. We've got that much power in here. But you can't do it if you aren't walking in the culture of the kingdom of heaven. That's the only way it can happen, understanding the full culture. We're going to play this first section, then I'll say a few things. So go ahead, Sarah.
Matthew 6:33, I call it his priority. Christ's priority was not food and clothes and car and house and all the stuff that we go after. He says, but seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be what? Added unto you. He says, your priority should be seeking the kingdom. I did a research on the word seek. It's an amazing word. Matter of fact, in my book out there on priority, it's called Kingdom, Applying the Kingdom. I did a whole chapter on seek, because the word seek that he used is a powerful word. It means to pursue. It means to run after. It means to study, to explore, to get to know. It's a powerful word. In other words, you don't just sit back in a meeting like this and say, well, I want to know the kingdom. You got to get up and go look for it, search for it, research it. Why? Because you don't just enter a country and know the country. If someone told you right now that you should go to know America, do you really know the United States? You don't know the United States. There's some parts you've never been. There's some mountains you never climbed. There's some rivers in this country you never saw. In other words, seeking could be a lifetime experience. Study. You know, that's why I'm possessed by it. I'm possessed by it because he said that's the only thing to seek. I was religious and in bondage. I owed everybody. And I would sing in every meeting, the Lord bless me, the Lord love me. And I had to go and deal with those people I owed money to. Man, it was pressure. And there are people sitting here today who may be in the same predicament. I don't know. Maybe you sing all these wonderful worship songs, you know, listen to the good preaching, and then you go back to a life filled with pressure. Can't pay your bills, can't get the cancer out of your gut, your kids ain't doing right, your marriage ain't working right, and you're still coming every week just singing these songs. Why? That's the way I was. And that's why we come up with gimmicks, because the thing ain't working, so we come up with gimmicks. And we kind of religiousize the gimmicks so that people could accept them. When Christ says, just seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. My debt-free life was not a result of religion. I remember, man, I used to come and, you know, if you give God 10, he give you 20. You know, that whole stuff, man. Hey, I grew up around it. It doesn't mean that it doesn't work, but the motivation that you have for it negates it. You don't serve God to get stuff. Citizenship attracts stuff. Can I say it again? Citizenship in a kingdom attracts the stuff. That's why it says it shall be added. You ain't got to go pursue it. It comes towards you when you line up with the kingdom. When you get baptized in a public service, that's why baptism always public, because you are publicly changing schools of thought. You actually line yourself up to attract what you need. Baptism is powerful. Baptism sets you up for attraction. It's not a religious experience. It is a national experience. You're becoming a citizen. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow if you seek the kingdom. Do you know, this is amazing. Remember I told you last night that wealth in the kingdom of God is not something you pursue? Because in the kingdom of God, wealth is spelled access, A-C-C-E-S-S, access to everything. My son called me this morning, woke me up this morning early. He said, Dad, you know, he's in New Jersey, getting interviewed for jobs. And he said, I just bought him a car and everything. So he said, Dad, I want to know whether I should get full insurance or, you know, just liable insurance, etc. So I said, son, get full insurance. He said, okay. He said, I just want to know so you'll know what to deposit in my account. That's important. It was a kingdom experience. The Bible says your father knows what you need. He didn't ask me for the money. He just told me what he needed. That's all. There's a difference. Oh, you missed it. He knew there was a father out there somewhere who got what he needs.
Come on now.
Now, it'll be a stupid son to say, Daddy, give me $500,000. That's all I want. Give me my portion now. I'm gone. Wow. When the 500 ran out, he's in a pig pen again. What you want to do is not have money, you want access. Hallelujah. Because Paul understood it. Paul says, if I have or don't have, I'm happy, because it ain't a matter of having or not having. He says, my God shall supply all of my need. Watch this, according to his. See, in other words, I ain't got nothing in my pocket, because that's poverty. You can lose the car you have. Now you're carless. But if you know God and you are a citizen in the kingdom and he knows you need transportation, you got a million cars. I remember Peter said to Jesus one time. Peter said, Jesus, I left all to follow you. I left my boat, my wife, my kids. I left everything to follow you. And he was really trying to impress Jesus. I left all to follow you. I left all to follow you. I left all I had to follow you. Christ says, shut up. No man leaves nothing for me, he says. Watch him now. He says, if you submit to me and submit to my kingdom, he says, I'll give you 7 houses. That one you got even ain't enough. Oh, he was trying to get him to access.
And the reality is, when I started to hear what he was saying, I've studied out when I first got in, seek ye first the kingdom of God, because when I asked people, nobody knew what the kingdom of God is. I heard, it's inside you. So, what is it? It says it's supposed to seek it. Seek it. First seek it. Not last. Don't even talk about it. Seek it. Why? Because Jesus brought the kingdom of God back. And if you don't understand the kingdom, you're missing out on benefits that he wants you to have. Yes, we're walking in some of the benefits, but not all of them. Well, there's more that God wants to do. More things wants to happen. There's an anointing starting to hit in this place. I thank you, Father. But when I started seeking, it was diligent looking and hunting and trying to figure out what was going on. When he said, when he checked at the same on the same with the order, but he said it's to find access. Daniel Martin said when he was there, there was a storehouse. It talks about in the Bible. God knows your needs before you even need it, before you even ask. He created a storehouse in the very beginning because he knew you, he knew what you're going to need, and he created a storehouse in heaven. Now, how you access that is how understanding the culture, walking in the culture, understanding the culture, understanding what Jesus set up, what God has set up, the governmental movement and understanding to be able to receive that. Because Daniel said that when he was there, he said he would see people asking for whatever they needed. And the angel would go over, and if I have to remember because I have to go back and re-listen to the whole story, but what I remember was he said an angel would go over, it's like a big garage door, and he would open it up, walk inside the storehouse, pick up what the person was asking, come out, and they go to deliver it to him, and before he even got out of heaven, disappeared because the person was on down the road with something else. Something hindered them from receiving their blessings from heaven. They got an access by praying, but they never received it. Has that ever happened with you? You prayed and you never received it. I have. That's all many times I prayed and nothing's ever received. God wants you to have it. But do you have the correct access to get into it? Do you actually understand the principles that it takes to bring it forth? It's all there. As I even went back to 1 Corinthians 1 and it's talking about 3, he says that he wants you to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. If we're not blessed, we're in trouble. That's why Jesse had a plan us when he was in heaven. He had a vision. He went to that one, he says, there's a building. I remember right, it had no doors or windows. He asked the angels, he says, what's that building? He says, you don't want to go in there, you get sick. He said, why? He says, that's all the missed blessings that you were supposed to have on earth. So he walked in there. He went down, he found his aisle. He found like a drawer, if I remember, and he pulled it all the way out. He's seen all these blessings. He determined in his heart, I'm not going to miss any blessings anymore. If that's what God wants me to have, that's what I'm going to get. Why do you think he's where he's at today? Yes, he is a money man. He's definitely educated on money and how to use money and what's that happening. He's used it wisely. You know, he doesn't have any needs of any kinds. He's giving millions of dollars out to people, different ministries. You won't hear about it, but he's doing it. We've heard bits and pieces once in a while about it. He's just totally going wildfire. He's got a big house. God said, build a house. He said, I don't need that big. He said, build it. I want you to have it. See, God wants us to have so much, but he can't get it to us because we don't have the culture understanding. We're not moving in that. This is what this is all about. This is what God's trying to teach and trying to help me to understand so I can get the revelation to you to show you about the culture. This is what Jesus came back to restore back to man, the very authority that Adam lost. And that's what he's done. He's pulled back and gave us the kingdom of God. Whereas Adam walked in the kingdom of heaven in the Garden of Eden, and when he sinned, he lost it. And Jesus was bringing it back. He said it came back as soon as the Father sent the Holy Spirit back, because the Holy Spirit is life. That's why we got changed from being dead, because we didn't have any Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, it was all walking around by sight and by laws and doing your own thing. Today, you walk by faith, walk by love, because Jesus is love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. That's what it's about. When you understand that principle, you go after it. You know, I've even asked for money and never got any. And then when he started talking about that, you're asking, you don't ask for money, you ask for the access and get the understanding. He said wealth is access to what you have in heaven. Wealth, in the Bible, he said, was access to what you have in heaven. I studied on wealth one time, and it says it's not wealthy like rich and have all kinds of money all over the place. It's the able to have a good life and have everything paid for and be without need. That's kingdom culture. Every single child that's in the kingdom of God's, you know, that anyone that's given their life to Christ should be able to have a life without any needs. Could you imagine if everybody got saved and was walking around in love, caring for one another, and had no needs? What would change the world? How much would that affect the world? Think about that. This is why. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Once you figure out what that access is, you can receive a lot of this stuff that's going on. You want to play that last section?
Nicodemus had to give up all of his theological training. Let me close. I got much more to say to you now, but you couldn't take it. So let me just give you a couple of thoughts here. What is a kingdom? I thought I'd better give you this before we leave today. Write this down, everybody. What is a kingdom? Now, this is important for Americans to write down because there's no kingdom in your culture. What is a kingdom? A kingdom is the sovereign rulership or governing authority of a king over his territory, impacting it with his personal will, his purpose, and his intent. Producing a community of citizens who express the king's culture, nature, and lifestyle. That's a kingdom. I was born in one. In a religion, you follow rituals and you attempt to obey some laws. In a kingdom, it's different. In a kingdom, you take on the very personality and nature of the king. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I feel like running right around out there, just screaming by myself. Listen to me. Brother Bob, that's why I love you so much, man. You trying to get people to understand, they got to change their thinking. Do you know, Brother Ron, that the king wants every citizen to dress like him, look like him, eat like him, because it reflects his name. Do you understand that? That's why you stop praying for money. You don't pray for money. You pray for kingdom citizenship. You remember, I'm sure you remember this, when, by the way, to understand the whole context, you understand what kings do. Kings compete with each other. That's important. Write that down. Kings what? Compete. That's what kingdoms do. They compete for each other's glory. They like to outstrip each other's glory. That's why when a king sees another king somewhere, they go to visit them. You visit a king to embarrass him. This is very important. So when Christ says he's a king, they understood what he was talking about. Kings like to visit other kings to expose their weaknesses. That's why a king will never visit another king without taking him a gift. And the gift is normally a massive gift to embarrass the king. Because if I gave you a gift bigger than you can give me one, then all your citizens know that I am a greater king with a greater glory and greater name. And so when you come to a king, you take a big gift to embarrass him. That's how kingdoms work. So when the Queen of Sheba heard that there was a king in Israel who was the most wise and powerful king, she became very insulted and said, wait a minute, I'm the Queen of Sheba. I am the queen, the ruler of Africa. No one is greater than I. And so she goes to visit Solomon to embarrass him. And if you read the Bible, it says she bought a big gift. Thousands of cattle, thousands of sheep, thousands of camels, thousands of gold and shekels. She came, what? I came to embarrass him. And the Bible says, when they arrived in Israel, a big caravan with thousands of soldiers, all this wealth behind her, she's coming to embarrass this so-called great king. The scripture says, as soon as she entered, Sharon, the courtyard, her knees became weak. It said, because when she saw how the servants were dressed, shouting yet, hallelujah, when she saw what the servants were wearing, the Bible says her breath left her. And then when she got into the palace, she saw what the servants were eating on silver plates, gold fork. She said, my God, if the servants eating on silver plates and golden fork, I don't want to see the king no more. And the Bible says when she saw the meat on their plate, she knew she had entered the courts of the greatest king. And the scripture says she became weak. And her breath escaped her. Of course, you know the story. She went in and she saw Solomon. And Solomon was real cool. Why? This is my culture, baby. Oh, Sister Sharon. When they tell you, you guys have personal bills? No. You driving that nice car? Yep. You look so nice? Yep. How come? This is my culture. Yeah. This ain't nothing important to me. It's just my culture. I don't brag about my car. It's my culture to drive this kind of car. Why do I look so nice? It's my culture to look like my king. His name is what? Majestic. I gotta look majestic. Come on, give God a praise. And the Bible says Solomon didn't leave her there. He opened his mouth. See? And boy, that was it for her. He blew her away. And the Bible says when she left him, she went back to her kingdom with these words upon her lips. They told me that he was a great king. They said he was the mightiest of all. But they didn't tell me the truth, she says. The half. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, you ain't seen nothing yet. Hey, brother Bob, tell him you ain't seen nothing yet. They think you rich right now. They think you got your needs met now. But the half. I say the half have never been told. She said, y'all didn't tell me the truth about those people. Y'all told me that they were blessed. But when I went in there and I saw their culture, I forgot the most important part of the story. It says that when she was about to leave, Solomon said to his aides, give her a gift. Oh, glory, Brother Joe. He said, give her a gift. And the Bible says she was given seven times more. She was embarrassed by his glory. God's about to embarrass you. Your little gift you gave God this morning is just going to make him angry. He's going to embarrass you with 10 times more, 1,000 times more. Let me tell you something, friends. This is why giving in a kingdom is in the giver's best interest. Oh, Lord. Oh, you missed that. When you are in a kingdom and you go to see the king, you must take a gift. But now, your secret key is to embarrass him. Attempt to embarrass him. Which means if you give him $5, it doesn't take much for him to embarrass you. He gives you 10. Some of you are going to get it after I'm gone. That's why the Bible says if you give bountifully, you impact the king. Now the king got to give back to you bountifully. It's a kingdom principle. So if you give God $1,000, now he got to embarrass you and give you $10,000 back. Then you give him $10,000. Oh boy. He said, look, I got to embarrass you. He gives you $100,000 back. Now you give him $100,000. Oh, here we go again. I'll give you $1,000,000. He said, okay, I'll give you $1,000,000. God said, oh my God. Here I go. I'm going to give you $10,000,000. And you keep on putting pressure on it by raising the stakes of your giving.
I watch that practice all the time. I've seen that happen. It's amazing what God will do. See, it's the nature of the king to show his glory. Glory is the full weight of everything that he has. You are his glory. You're crowned with his glory. So when people look at you, they see the king. Amen. What are they looking at? I've always talked about Debbie's house, our house, and how she's taken all these things from all over the place, and that's her glory. Don't go to my room or the garage, you'll be in trouble. But the fact is, the house is beautiful because it's the glory. Why is the glory? Because, see, it's the weight. It's everything that she owns. It's her personality. It's what's happening. That's what they're saying here. What he's talking about is a king wants you to have every spiritual blessing from heaven. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 and go back and read that. He wants you to have every spiritual blessing in heaven. Why? Because you're lining up with the culture, not because he just wants to give you money to make you look good. No, he wants to look, himself wants to look good by meeting his needs of his people. I haven't heard it quite the way he talked about that with Bathsheba. But I do know, from reading it, that she went there, and the first thing she saw was, I heard the ditch diggers. And they had good Sunday going to church clothes on. Why would ditch diggers have that? That's somebody's viewpoint of what they were talking about. The servants were dressed well. Normally in a kingdom, what would they have? They just let them wear whatever they had to because they didn't really care about them. But Solomon was a king that cares. God is a king that cares. Your father cares. That's why he said earlier, he says his son called him and said, what kind of insurance should I put on this? And he asked him. And through that, he wasn't trying to seek money. He was trying to get wisdom from the kingdom, from his father. And that's the same thing we do with the kingdom authority through our father. We don't tell him about money. We just tell him these are our needs, and we thank you for blessing us because you said you want to bless us. We want to accept your blessing. So we want to line up with what you want to do. You might have a question. Take and ask the Father. Ask Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you what's going on. That's why I listen to these Miles Monroe whenever God wants me to. That's why, every third Saturday we have Miles Monroe. You can come in and listen. And here there's always something going on. You can always pick bits and pieces up. But you want to have to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because his righteousness is his character, his personality. When you become like God, you'll start to understand his culture even more. There's a great thing that lines up with that. That's what I talked about last week on the righteousness. Love, peace, joy, happiness, meekness, mildness, kindness, and long-suffering. That's what you need to produce. You start producing that. You start walking in that. You're starting to line up with the culture of the kingdom, and all of a sudden you start asking a little different. And before long, God is going to start to bring forth down on what you want to do. I had a lady one time that she was in a meeting, and she had stated the fact that she had this money saved up for these dishes, but there was something that was going on that God pricked her heart and said, I just feel I need to give that money that I was saving for these dishes over to this need that they were asking for. So she just said, Lord, I'm going to give that to what you want me to give. And she did. She said that later on going home, they stopped at one store and there was this same thing she was wanting, but it was discounted so much she had enough money she could buy the whole outfit. So she not only gave, but she got, God honored her and allowed her to have what she was looking for. I've heard it time and time again from many, many people. And the first time we heard Miles Monroe was when Debbie ran across it on a TV program. It was Benny Hinn. And he was saying one thing in the kingdom authority and organization was, he says, the tithe is like it's like taxes. A tithe you give in to keep the government going, which is your church, there you're at. He says, but the thing is, when you come into offerings, it's like an investment. When you start to give above your tithe, then you start to get things back. You know, God's just opening the windows by giving your tithe. And I says, oh, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. And Benny Hinn says, you know, we've got these people there. They're constant tithers. They're great tithers. They're tithe. And she said, but that's why they're not really getting ahead. Things aren't changing because they haven't gone over onto the offering. That's between you and God. I'm not trying to tell you anything different. It was just part of the kingdom understanding that was going on. It's access. When you give out, the king gives back. So when you're giving to the king and you love the king and you want to support the king's business, what is God going to do? He's going to give you a greater gift back. He's required because he's the one that set up kingships to begin with. And if it's doing here on this earth, what do you think he's doing up there? He's going to give it back greater so that you can give more back to the kingdom of God. See, that's culture. He wants you so blessed. I know we had a guy one time that was here, and he came up with another man that was talking about petitions. And the Lord told him, he says, you need to make a petition. It's in the Word. He went back, and you can check it out. And he did. So him and his wife sat down. They wanted to be out of debt within a year and have a plane. So they start putting things down, and they start trusting the Lord, and they start going and doing what the Lord was showing them. And within a year, all their debt was gone, and they had a plane. Because they put it before the Lord. Was it 2 Titus says, write it down so that people can take and run with it? It's a remembrance of what's going on. Those are all biblical principles that have been used for religion, but when you start to throw it in the kingdom culture, you start to see results. Some people haven't seen results, but that is it. And he said, the nature of the kings. Now, he's changed a little bit on this one because he says the king goes to show, you know, to make the other king jealous. That can happen. The first time I heard him talking about that, he said that a king that didn't have as much and knew this king over here had more money, he went and he took and went to see the king. He made an appointment, went to see the king, and he brought his stuff that he had. It might not have been that much, so it's a little different concept of what he's saying, but it's on the same thing. When he went to see the king, he gave him the gift. Well, that king was required then to give back to him greater than what he gave him. He said they never really went to a king that was poor because they couldn't get anything back from what they were doing. That's part of the kingship, king understanding, king culture. That's what was happening back then. You know, the other thing he said, one thing which was kind of interesting, he says, if you talk about the kings came from the east, we only have three gifts, three kings, but he said there was hundreds of kings in the east. He didn't say how many kings in the Bible. Somebody came up with three because there were three gifts. You could have had 20, 30 kings that came over to see Jesus. And each one of them could have brought all that extra gold. It could have been wealthier than all get out. We don't know. We just know that it came up with our religious teaching that there was three kings and three gifts, and that was it. Not necessarily. It could have been more. Because see, if that king heard there was a king was raised over here, guess what? They wanted to go see him. They wanted to give what was going on. God would return back to him even greater. It's a principle, a very strong principle. And it's not because you want money. It's because you want to bless the king. And the king wants to re-bless you even greater than what you can bless him. And the more you go that way, the better it is. It goes along with the three talents. The guy that had 10, what happened? He went and increased it 10. The other one had five, he increased it five. The other one put it in the ground and he lost everything. God took it totally away from him because he didn't use it. See, he wasn't working in the kingdom principle. Sometimes we want to get into hoarding. I'd rather keep this and make sure that I don't lose anything so I don't have the money to when we need it. No. You know, let's find out what the kingdom says. Let's find out what God wants to do. Let's give it to the God, to King, so he can return it back in a greater amount. Sometimes we just give to be giving and it's not lining up with what the Lord is actually saying. Our heart's wrong. We need to line up and understand the actual basic principle of the culture. And when you do that, praise the Lord. I know I've heard people before, they plant seeds, and that's good. That's planting seeds. But they said they find out if the seed isn't reproducing, they put it in bad ground so they get out of there. But every time you give to the Lord, is in good ground, and he's going to reproduce it from the kingdom culture. It's just one of those areas. And I'm just going to, you know, like I said, I normally don't have videos, but I think he put it across in such a way where I would not be able to put it across the way he put it across. It's to bless you. It's to help you. It's to keep you growing. So, Father, we thank you, Father, that we can come before you in your kingdom. And thank you that you can teach us kingdom culture from heaven so that we can rain that down on this earth. And that people will start to walk in your kingdom culture, and they'll start to change, and they'll start to be better. The ones that are hurt out there will be set free. The ones that are being beat up and cause problems will be set free. And that your love will show through each one of them, and they will grow and prosper, and things will change. And Father, I thank you. Give us more and more wisdom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just release it into your hands. We give you full glory, honor, and praise. Let no one be condemned. And if there's any confusion, that they can talk to me about it, or they can just go to you, your Holy Spirit, and ask him and see what's going on. And this video, for people who want to know, was saying it was the Kingdom of God, or the Kingdom of God culture by Miles Monroe. And it's a big gray picture at the first that says Kingdom Culture. There's several of them out there. You can listen to it. You can see it. You can come here on the third Saturday and listen to many of the cultures. It's because we need to know more about the culture so that we can achieve all that he wants to be here and to do here, and to help others come into their understanding of the culture and who they are and the citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that we can reign on this earth for God. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for this day. Ask that you bless each and every one. Keep them safe. Pray the weather warms up, the trees grow, flowers pop out, and the freshness of your love will flow through us in this time of spring when things come back to life. We give you full glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be safe till we meet again. Amen.
As Miles said yesterday, we are a colony, and that's what kingdoms do, is they establish colonies. And I see GSMF as a colony. And when people come in here or into our homes, they should feel like they are stepping right into heaven. And so we have to figure out what that means. It should be like they're stepping right into heaven here, or into our homes or our businesses or, you know, whatever, because we are establishing that colony, part of the kingdom of God right here.